This morning we're going to talk about multiplying your ministry. That's what Gus was trying to do with Steve. He was trying to multiply his ministry. One of the key verses in the Navigators is 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I remember when I first heard that verse, I'd probably read it before, but I remember when I first heard it, it really rang in my heart. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 1, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It was out at Havens Court Colonial, a little church in East Oakland, California. My ship had pulled into San Francisco, and I'd take Liberty over in East Bay. And one night I was at the Servicemen's Center, and this sailor said, "Hey, Doss is in town. He's preaching out at Havens Court. I'm going out." I said, "Hey, could I go with you?" And he said, "Sure." So we caught the streetcar and went on out. And as he broke the word, my heart was stirred, and I thought, that is the key. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Then I heard him tell the story of how the Navigators began. He was a young man in junior high school, and there was two ladies, his teachers, Miss Mills and Miss Thomas, and they prayed for their children. And then he, through a series of circumstances, as time went on, he graduated from high school, took a job in the lumber yard, and God almost took his life one day, and he said, "Lord, if you spare my life, I'll go to church." So he went to church. His mother was a strong Christian, Pentecostal, and he was turned off by many of the things that they did. But he went to church, and lo and behold, if Miss Mills and Miss Thomas, his former teachers, weren't there. And they were having a contest among the young people, the Reds against the Blues. And he joined one of the groups. They were memorizing scripture for a contest. And they had chosen 10 verses in the Bible. 10 verses on the gospel. The fact of sin, the penalty of sin, penalty must be paid, is paid by Christ, and so on. They had given it to these young people. And so he took the 10 verses. And they were supposed to memorize them and come back next week. Well, he memorized his verses, and that's the first time he said, I learned how church people do things. They don't. And so he was the only kid that had memorized his verses on both sides. So actually, he was a hero. Well, Miss Mills and Miss Thomas had prepared 10 more verses just in case the kids had memorized the first two. And so he got the second 10 verses. Well, because he had memorized the first ones, he had a name for himself. So he had to memorize the second ones. So he came to church next Sunday night, and he had memorized the second 10 verses. So it gave him 20 verses of scripture that he could quote. Now, he was lost as a goose. And so he quoted his verses. Going to work one day, these verses began to work on his heart. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, he didn't have to teach him that. He knew that, you know. The wages of sin is death. Huh, death. Well, everybody's going to die, you know. And after this, the judgment. Wonder where I'll be then. And the Holy Spirit uses his word in Dawson's life, and he bowed his knees and accepted Christ as his Savior. He kept reading his Bible because they had told him to read the Bible. one of the things that he did when he was working at the lumberyard there, he told one of the fellas, he says, you know, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And this fella said, oh, that's good. And there was a fella that would come on Friday noons and he would preach to the men during their lunch hour. Every Friday he would preach. Some would act like they weren't paying attention. Some would, two or three would listen. The rest of them would be way off out there, you know. But he had faithfully preached. And so he got word that Doss had made a decision. So he said, hey, Doss, give your testimony. Well, here he was stuck. And so the word got around, unbeknownst to him, hey, and they called him Porky because he is a 140-pound little old skinny guy. And Porky's going to preach. Porky's going to preach. So the whole lumberyard showed up. And here he was giving his testimony. Well, that was the start of him being bolden. He often gave Miss Mills and Miss Thomas the credit for beginning the Navigators. The Navigators are great work among military men in World War II and continues, actually. Emphasis on men. There's a lot of ladies, but there's still emphasis on males. But two ladies, two single ladies, started to work. And they started to work through prayer. I heard him preach that message, and I heard him tell that story. Pretty soon he went back to church, and they gave him a job. They gave him six boys to teach. They're about 10, 12 years old. And so he first time he had them, he didn't keep order or anything. It was just kind of bedlam, you know. He got alone with the Lord, and he said, now, Lord, you made little boys. You know how they think. Teach me, help me keep order and teach these little boys and lead them to Christ. Now, that was a principle of his life. That's the principle he taught us. If you've got a problem, get an answer to it. Get an answer directly from God. Go to an elder. Go to the book. Oftentimes he told me, Johnny, the library is still open, you know. And so God gave him wisdom on how to entertain little boys. And his class grew, and it grew. And so pretty soon he decided to meet with the boys during the week. And that was the beginning of the boys' club. So he needed leaders for these boys. So that means he had to try to train some young men as leaders. So he began the job now of training some young men to lead these boys' clubs. And one lady knew about this, and she had a girlfriend in San Diego. One time she was visiting her, and she says, you know, my son has just joined the Navy, and he's a brand new Christian, and I'm so worried about him. This lady said, hey, I know a fella that might be able to help him. Up in La Mita, California. So here's his address. You write him, and when I see him, I'll tell him that you're going to write him, and he'll probably be able to help your son. So she wrote Doss, and Doss wrote this kid aboard to West Virginia. His name was Les Spencer. So they made arrangements to meet. And so they meet, and he picked him up in his Model A Ford, and they were going out to Dawson's house. Well, they were talking about those scriptures on the way out, and they got so interested, they pulled over to a floodlight right in front of a warehouse, and they were talking about the scriptures. And while they were there, the policeman came along, shined his light in, said, fellas, where's the whiskey? This was during Prohibition time. And they said, sir, we don't have any whiskey. We're talking about the Bible. So they got to talking to the policeman. And he said, well, Bible's such a puzzle to me. I've often wondered what it's all about, really. I wonder, often wondered if somebody could explain it to me. And so Doss said, well, I'm talking to the sailor right now. And Les said, oh, go ahead and talk to her. So they moved over in front of the house where there was a light in a warehouse, a big shelter there. And he took his little New Testament and he went through the gospel with the policeman and he led the policeman to Christ. They got on their knees right there on the little porch and made a decision. Going on back, going on out to Dawson's house, Les Spencer said, Doss, that was a marvelous thing you did tonight. That was really great. Doss, I'd give my right arm if I could do that. Doss said, no, you wouldn't. He said, yeah, I would too. Doss said, no, you wouldn't. He said, yeah, I would. Doss said, no, you wouldn't. Les straightened up and looked at Doss, said, Doss? He said, yeah. I said, I would. Doss said, Les, you can do what I did tonight. It won't cost you your right arm. It'll cost you, but it won't cost you your right arm. So Les wanted to learn. Now, Betty Skinner wrote a book, great big book, Doss. Betty visited us here a couple of weeks ago. All these little stories are in that book. Well, that started Doss and Les meeting together. And Doss began to lay on Les's heart to find another sailor, just like Gus was picking up Steve. Same thing. And one day he brought a fellow out. His name was Gurney Harris from Arkansas. And he told, got Doss to one side and he said, Doss, I got a man. He's a good one, boy. Give it to him. And Doss was a past master at being stupid. He said, give him what? You know, help him. Help him what, Les? You know, get him in the Word. Help him. Take him to memorize Scripture. Doss said, Les, you help him. I can't help him. And he pushed him in the room together and he said, Les, if you can't help Gurney, I have failed. And he closed the door. That right there is the key. Multiplying your ministry. The time that Gus spent with Dr. Moore, he wasn't a doctor then, he was a lowly enlisted man, lo and behold. The time that Gus sent with Steve, because some fellas aboard the West Virginia and then aboard the Wisconsin, Gus reached another man, Cease Hawkins. Cease Hawkins spent his entire life with Wycliffe. He lives in Dallas now, he's retired. One man. I heard an evangelist tell a story. He said he lived down in Brandon Stan, Alabama, and that's about 12, 14 miles from my hometown. I say my hometown. If I had a hometown, that would be it. I didn't live in the town, I live in the country. And these two pastors were talking. They had 2 weeks of revival meeting. And one pastor asked the other one, said, how'd it go? Well, really not much, We had 2 weeks of meetings. One little old 12-year-old boy got saved. Well, that 12-year-old boy was standing over there and he heard that. Folks, that 12-year-old boy was Bob Jones. You've heard of Bob Jones University and Bob Jones Sr. And Bob Jones, that was Bob Jones Sr. This is Bob Jones Jr. now, and he's an elder man. And the many thousands of young people they have sent to the mission field. They belittled one man. one boy. I'm sure glad that I had a praying mother. I was on a mission field, came home for furlough, 54 years old, and back in Alabama and in the country church. It was in October, and Sunday after church, out under the big oak trees, we were howdying and so on, and I introduced my wife Helen to Aunt Zim, Zima Lee. She played the organ, beautiful lady, white hair, you know. And I says, Aunt Zim, you know Helen. She says, oh yes, I know Helen. She said, you know Helen. She said, John's mother and I were girlfriends. John's mother was named Elizabeth. We called her Lizzie. And my name is Zima Lee, and they call me Zimmy. So it was Lizzie and Zimmy. She says, I went to see Lizzie when John was born. And Lizzie held out her little baby. And she says, Zimmy, this is my preacher. I was saved 20 years later, watching her die. She never knew. She never knew. Why am I here? Because of Dawson's discipling? Yeah, praise God. Because of friends I've had and my pastors through the years? Yeah, praise God. But Lizzie prayed. Lizzie prayed. One man, and the things that thou hast heard of me. And you know, God uses ordinary men. He took David from the sheepfold. He took Elisha from the plow. He took Doss from driving a truck. What were some of the things that Timothy heard of Paul? Well, he heard him pray. Philippians 1:9. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Ephesians 3:20, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He heard him pray. A few years ago, Jim White, Jim and Jerry came by my house, and we had a 15-year-old daughter. And she is living in rebellion. And we prayed. Years went on. She was 18. Jim came by again. Jim, I said, oh, come in, folks, have a seat. And he said, John, we don't have time. We got to run. I just wanted to talk to you just a second. He said, John, the rebellion of your daughter has gone on long enough. Jerry and I have come to fast and pray with you for 3 days that God might break this. Jerry is on medication. She has to take 800 calories, but other than that, we'll fast and pray with you 3 days. And he didn't say, would you like to? See, when you're making disciples and when you have a relationship with people and they need something, you tell them. And so Jim told me. And I said, well, we sure appreciate that, folks. We sure do. So we fasted and prayed for 3 days. You know, Daniel said, while I was still speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel came to me in my extreme weariness. In my extreme weariness. And I watched my wife as she prayed during those years, about six. Extreme weariness. And I wondered, why is she so tired? course, she was up praying. And it makes you tired, made Daniel tired. The same said unto me, "Oh, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight with understanding. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand," 3 weeks later, it broke loose. I won't go into details, but my wife, my daughter had been babysitting. I have permission to tell this, by the way. She said, "Dad, use my testimony any way you want." And she came in about 10 o'clock from a babysitting job. She and her brother had been babysitting, and her brother was driving a truck. We wouldn't let her babysit unless her brother stayed with her. So she said, "You folks got a little time?" I said, "Sure, son." She said, "Could we talk? Just come in the door." I said, "Yes, we can talk." So we sit down, and for one solid hour, by my clock, she laid it out. And she closed it by saying, "You know, I need help. I need help. I really need help." I said, "Well, sweetheart, you want Dad to help you?" She said, "Yeah, yes, I do. Yes, I do." So that began. And then she said, "You folks mind if I pray?" "No, no, we don't mind. Go ahead, you know." And so she called on God. Well, that started it. And that woman's been growing. She's now 39 years old. She has 4 children. And I got a letter from her not long ago. She just moved from Tyler, Texas, down to Houston, downtown Houston. Her husband's a doctor. "Dear Dad and Mom, thank you for all you do. Dad, I'm praying for your eyes and for your ears, that they'll both clear up and heal. We worship a God of miracles and healing power who can help us physically and emotionally so that we can accept what life has to offer on its own terms." By the way, the doctrine that's in this is fantastic. She didn't say, "God, change my circumstances. God, quiet that storm." See, the Bible says that the Lord spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. The Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. She didn't say, "Change situations." She said, "Change me so I can accept the situation." You know, folks, there are going to be storms of life. There are going to be storms in there. You know, down on the Gulf Coast, there's been a storm. Those of you who have been to sea have probably run into storms. There's going to be storms out there. There always has been, always will be. How are you going to hack it? You're going to have the strength in a ship that's sufficient to weather the storms, that we can accept life on its own terms. I know from personal experience, many of the trials are not what we would choose for ourselves. Her first child was born autistic. He had a 10-word vocabulary when he was 3 years old. He just finished the third grade now. He's had a lot of help. And every kid in the state of Texas in the third grade has to take an exam. Well, he's in special education. And there's five ladies and one gentleman in the special education. And they said, "Well, Shawnee should take the amended test." And the gentleman said, "No, he should take the regular test." So there's quite an argument, including his mother, thinking he should take the amended test. Well, the gentleman held out, and so he was given the regular test. The highest you can make is 2,600. People like me would have made about 2,000. And I'd get complimented for that. They'd say, Johnny, you're doing really good. But Shawnee pulled a 2,400 out of 26. That's the improvement that he has made since he was 3 years old. I know from a personal experience that the trials we face are not what we would choose for ourselves or for those we love. But God does give us peace and acceptance as we look to Him. Even to those of us who have to leave our big country place and to a small city dwelling, she just had to leave her 3,400 square feet, five bedroom house up in Tyler, down to a little three bedroom house in downtown Houston. Get this last sentence. Peace and acceptance are ours for the taking. It's out there. Peace and acceptance are ours for the taking. Thank you, Jim and Jerry. And thank all of you. I've got friends in this audience right now who prayed with me during those years and have prayed with me in years since then. And the things that thou hast heard of me, what had he heard? He'd heard Paul pray. He had heard the tools of Paul's trade ring out. Paul says, with these hands I have ministered to my necessities and those that are with me. And for years I held that philosophy and worked at a job, at a trade. And when I had the ministry in San Diego, and when we left San Diego and moved up to the Bay Area, I got out and got a job laying brick to finish up a fellow's house to make $400 or $500 enough to move me up to the city. That was what we did in those days. Well, the guys that I was training saw that, just like Timothy saw Paul. And the things that thou hast heard of me, he'd heard Paul teach. Don't be afraid to take a Sunday school class. Don't be afraid to give yourself to it. The pastor, the people of the church need you. And it's a wonderful place for you and for me to grow and to develop. He had heard Paul teach. He had heard him preach. He'd heard him share his testimony. You might say, well, John, I don't have opportunities to preach. All our preaching. Is that fair enough? Do you have opportunities to have someone over, along with the person, the fellow or girl that you're trying to disciple? They can hear you around the table. Did you know we saved up enough money to buy some different furniture? And I bought some furniture around my kitchenette table. I have comfortable chairs around my kitchenette table. So oftentimes, proper dining room chairs are straight, and you sit there like a judge, you know, and you eat, you know, and then you can't talk very long, and people say, well, hey, let's retire to the living room where it's more comfortable. Well, oftentimes that's a sign for you to go. But I don't say that because we don't have to retire to the living room because it's comfortable right there in the kitchenette. I bought the chairs specially for that purpose. So when I'm sharing with a fella and we're on something and we need to keep going, I can keep going and he can be comfortable. He heard him preach. He heard him teach. No one ever taught me that, by the way. I figured that all by myself. Take people with you. When I'm going to a conference or things, I take people with me. I'll be going down to Texas in a couple of weeks, down to Austin, taking a couple of guys with me. Always take someone with you. He had heard Paul tell of hard times. And it, you don't have to brag, but tell of the difficult times. You can even tell of the times when you might have failed. You may have done it, should have done it this way, but you did it this way, you see. I figured out a way for our retirement fund, and I was quite satisfied with it. And I shared it with Helen, and she said, that sounds good. And so we practiced that for years and years. And then I deviated from that. And we lost what we had invested. And it wasn't all that much compared to the whole thing, but it was a little bit, and a little bit to poor people is lots, you see. Well, I've shared that with guys. And I shared, you know what I think? I hate to have to admit this, but I think greed probably caused me to deviate from that. I was talking with a buddy of mine, he says, you know, I've done the same thing, greed. Now, it's quite all right to buy and sell and make money. You know, Jesus said, you know, the illustrations in the Bible says they gave him the talents and says, go and trade and buy and sell. And so one took 10 and made 20, and one took 5 and made 10, and so on. But this was greed. It was a mistake. And I confessed it to the Lord and confessed it to Helen. And I've used that as an illustration to the fellas from time to time. Tell of hard times. Tell of times when God made God use a situation to get along. We were in New Zealand, and the leadership there made a decision that all the missionaries should raise their money back home, and they weren't allowed to raise money there. Well, a farmer I was discipling told Helen and me one day, we were doing Bible study. We did the Bible study in the middle of the day because he milked in the early morning and late afternoon, so we did it in the middle of the day. He said, my wife and I'd like to support you folks. And I said, well, Roland, we can't accept support from the Kiwis. He says, the leadership said that we shouldn't do that. Oh? He says, what verse is that? I said, well, I don't know that is a verse, actually. So next time we did Bible study, he said, you folks eat beef? I said, yeah, we eat beef. He said, you have a freezer? I said, yeah, we got a freezer, got a great big old long freezer. But next time he come, he brought a quarter of a cow. He kept us in beef for 7 years. We discipled a sheep farmer that kept us in mutton for 5 years. See, God supplied those needs. The fellows like to hear those stories. And the things that thou hast heard of me among witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Gus evidently got a faithful man when he got Steve. That was years and years ago. But when he got Steve, he got a faithful man. And Gus could afford to have that one guy following him around, you see. One guy. Just one fella. The first fella that the Lord gave me, boardship, was a kid by the name of Jack Yates. I'd been aboard ship 2.5 years by this time. And I witnessed to guys in the Navy that I was in. You couldn't fellowship with the guys above you. You had to get those your equal or below you. The other guys weren't paying attention. So I'd witnessed to these other guys, but we got a bunch of new guys. And my ship pulled into Treasure Island, and I'd get these young guys, and I would go to church right straight away. They hadn't been aboard just a few days or a week, and I'd go to church, go to chapel. We wouldn't get all that much, but at least we were going to church, see? And then we would stop by Galley Cay. They fed a good meal up there, and we'd eat, and I'd go with the gospel with them. Well, that night, Jack and I had the duty together. I had the deck watch, and he had the anchor watch. And about 11 o'clock, he came and said, "You know, Crawford, how do you get saved?" Well, I thought, you know, that's a good opportunity to witness here. well, the fellas had taught me. Now, John, don't just throw the Bible at him. Don't choke him. Work these scriptures into your conversation. The fact of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. And that is appointed among Hebrews 9:27. And as it appointed a man once to die, but after this the judgment. Just work it into your conversation. So I said, "Well, Yates, you got to remember that you're a sinner." He said, "Well, I know that. Else I wouldn't be talking to you." Well, the reason of that was I was known as the reverend or the preacher or the deacon or the parson or whatever they called him. And I worked all through the salvation. And he left and went up on the bow of the ship. And he came back in about 20 minutes and he said, "You know, Crawford," he says, I'm saved. I said, "Really, what'd you do?" He said, "I told God, whatever it is, to be a Christian, whatever it is to accept Christ, whatever it is to be born again, I want to do it." He said, "You know, I believe he heard me." I said, "Jack, I'm sure he heard you." I said, "Stand by, and I got something for you." I went down to my locker and I got the Beginning with Christ. And that night, before we went off duty, he memorized a verse of scripture. Well, Jack was a weightlifter, and so we didn't get much slack. Going along the deck one day, I heard two sailors talking and said, "You know, old Yates has got religion." And the other guy said, "Yeah, how do you know?" He said, "Well, I tried to get him to go ashore and drink beer with me, and he wouldn't go." You know, that's a change. The changed life. Last I heard of Yates, he was preaching the gospel back in Kentucky to those rum runners from whence he came. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good time together. Lord, I pray that you'll lay the word on our heart and open our hearts to the word that we might make application. In Jesus' precious name, amen.